Hey guys, welcome to another Crypto Sparta podcast episode. We'll just dip into the rough market. Brian, take it away.
Yeah, it's been pretty brutal. Bitcoin, Tuesday, after New Year's is at 47,000, and it's basically dipped to 42, ranging down to even below 40 this past week. Ethereum was at 3,800, and then now it's down to 3,000. It actually briefly went under 3,000. But now it's at like 3,100. So there's like a lot of people are, the fear is at an all-time low right now. Like everything has been dipping. Very few coins in the top 100 that have been going up. Luna has, which was strong, has gone down to 70. Or was at 68, a couple of days ago. Avalanche was at 100, dropped down to like 86. Really the only strong performers have been Link, has been Link. Cosmos was actually up during this whole dip, and it like went up to like 42, and then it kind of corrected. Near is also has had a good day, so Phantom has even dipped. So very few performers, a majority are has been going down.
Yeah, and I mean, we were talking about it, how the overall markets and like the world is kind of a bit off, where the Fed, the United States Federal Reserve, has been talking about rate hikes to tighten since inflation is super bad. I'm in Colombia, but I don't know if Bear Shells Biden has hit Minnesota. But there's a lot of like supply chain issues and a lot of prices going up and people being upset where the cost of everything is going up. There's news over in the US or in Germany about how, electricity costs are skyrocketing and some people aren't getting heat to their homes,
France too, that's a problem.
which is like boding poorly for the global economy, which now they're saying, some really big economists are saying that, crypto is a high risk asset, so that might be one of the first ones to take a hit. Beyond that, though, I think that like what we're looking at is, again, the outperformers. Brian talked about Cosmos or what's dipping the lowest. Maybe we can move into the discussions about like Arthur and then also Ultra's video. And then we'll move into like a little background of who Arthur is, and then talk about some of the characters like CZ and the Mount Gox head, that Karpeles guy. So you want to tell what Arthur had said?
Oh yeah, so right, so it was at this past week, Bitcoin dipped to 47,000, and then Wednesday last week, or like Thursday, Arthur Hayes, who was like one of the co-founders of Bitfinex, I believe, which is an old school trading platform.
Is it Bitfinex or BitMEX? I think it was BitMEX.
Let me double check. I think it's Bitfinex. Oh, it's BitMEX. Yeah, you're right.
So I always thought it was like Mexico, but it was headquartered in the Seychelles. So it
Yeah, so
wasn't.
he wrote this Medium article that was very bearish, basically saying that Bitcoin is going down to 30,000. We're in a bear market, and like it's all going down, and then it actually went down. So and then it triggered things further, but it hasn't gone to 30,000 yet. I personally don't think it's going to be 30,000. But yeah, so
Basically, for the background, like back in the day before, Brian or I were investing in stuff, like he created this derivatives exchange where people could 100x leverage, which, as we've said before, is illegal. This is legal advice. Do not do it. The government will prosecute you if you use illegal derivatives for cryptocurrencies.
Yeah, he was wanted for a really long time. Yeah. And then he turned himself in. And he's awaiting trial right now on $10 million bond.
Arthur Hayes walked so that CZ and Sam Bankman-Fried could run.
That's what they say.
Yeah, so this guy, but like back in the day, people would, start using VPNs to jack up the leverage to 100x. And then he was the one playing market maker, pulling the strings.
So he had all the data too.
Exactly. That's the big unfair thing, that like these guys are giant whales and they have all the transaction data of their companies on who has certain amount of shorts or what the liquidation price is. So he used to liquidate people, and he's as they say in his profile, African-American, he's a black guy. He's like always smiling in his photos too. He looks like a cheery guy. And it's like,
and for what he's done, he's like, that's evil. Like, he's very unethical as far as like.
Yeah. Unethical. The main reason he got in trouble was that he didn't want to give up people's information for the people who were in the United States that were using VPNs. And so then he got in trouble with the Banking Secrecy Act. So recently, like, where is he now? Now he's in Hong Kong, and he decided that he would surrender in Hawaii, and he awaits some sort of a trial. He's out on $10 million bond.
Vanity Fair wrote a profile on him February 4th, 2021, before he turned himself in. And he must like this profile because it's like, makes him seem like he's like, I don't know if you watch like Billions, but it makes him seem like they compare him to like Bobby Axelrod, which is like the main character in Billions, who's kind of like, kind of a boss or like, a don in the, VC game and on that show. So like, if you want to learn more, read about that and read his profile piece.
Yeah, so I mean, Arthur said it and then it nuked, and like people that are OGs like Kobe were like, oh, he did it again, like. And so I mean, that was like a bit of history, but we're gonna like talk about also, like, for those of you that don't know, kind of like coming up, there was BitMEX was like a big derivatives exchange. And then prior to that, just for like a bit of history, was like Mt. Gox, which was the big Japanese exchange that got hacked for 800,000 Bitcoin, like a long time back. And just like some people are, being like, oh, you haven't lived through bear markets. Like, if you don't know who these people are, and they posted the Mark Capellas guy, who's like the French guy who I think was the CTO.
Cut off again.
Can pronounce his name. Is it Changpeng Zhao?
CZ Zhao. Changpeng Zhao. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just call him CZ.
Yeah. But so we talked about him before, but we were seeing some kind of crazy information where they reported a chunk of his net worth, and they know that there's more, but he's reported at $96 billion.
And that's just like
without his
company profits.
Yeah.
Or just how the Binance business structure works.
Yeah, like his share of Binance or something.
But it doesn't account for his personal Binance, coins, that he holds.
Or other crypto.
Or his other crypto. It's just like how his company runs the profits off of Binance. he's probably, as the leader of Binance, he's probably worth $96 billion. But if you account, he's probably worth way more. He's probably, there's speculation that he's like the richest man in the world. Like he's so more, like he's richer than Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Like $96 billion puts you like in the top 10, I think, like top 20, like definitely the richest man in Asia. But you know, he's like on par with, you know, the US, people in the US, like the Zuckerbergs, you know, Bill Gates and all that, all yeah. those people.
But yeah, I mean, these are kind of some of the people that really have shaken stuff. And I mean,
yeah, just I just want to quote this art, like what his like thesis is there, like what Arthur Hayes like wrote, like the main point. He's like what he believes in, and it's like he believes, you know, Bitcoin's going to trade below 30,000 and Ether below 2,000 in 3 to 6 months time horizon. You know, he's dumping all his shit coins, and like any specific application that used the Bitcoin or Ether blockchain will also experience gravity at greater than 9.8 meters per second. Like these shit coins could go down like 75% to 90%. So he's like bracing for the worst.
Yeah. And so, I mean, there's a lot of headwinds kind of all around. There's like some maybe bright spots that you can look at. I mean, people are still saying, I saw someone was like, okay, Ether will drop like a third of total market cap, maybe go down like a trillion in market cap, or it could go up 8 trillion, which would be like a quadruple, triple, you know, triple quadruple of what the value is now. And I mean, there is more mainstream adoption. There are more people getting in. It's tricky to say.
I mean, yeah, they were saying like, you know, for it to be a true bear market, like a repeat of 2018, like Ether would have to be like drop down like 90%, and that'd be like $294. Like if Ethereum drops from like 3,000 to $294, like bet your ass I'm buying. You know, like I just don't think that's gonna happen with so much institutional money. So many people are building apps, like our dApps on that platform. Like no way. I mean, I don't, who am I? Like, you know, I don't know shit. So
well, there's two we'll see. Things, and I think that like this is like a good pivot, but before we pivot, I wanted to, I don't know, can you bring up that Ultra video and play it?
Yeah, I don't know if it's gonna, let's see, yeah. if it records well.
I mean, after this video where he explains kind of some things that I thought made a lot of sense, but actually might in practicality not work out very well.
Calling me, DMing me, asking me if it's over. It might be over. I don't fucking know. Maybe it's over. But like, where the fuck are all the dollars going to go? Like the Fed, even if the Fed slows down printing, they're not stopping printing. USD is still a shitcoin that has no max supply and is just being pumped into the market heavy. So like, where's that going to go? You know, they've kind of got supply control of Bitcoin a certain way, or it seems like it. You know, maybe I hope the OGs still have supply control of Bitcoin, but like, you know, it might be at the point where hedge funds and, you know, this ETF has given supply control away. And so we can't let them control the whole market by controlling Bitcoin anymore. We have to get past that. We have to get past that. And if they're trying to seize that control, we need to use that liquidity to keep the market up. You know what I'm saying? We have to pump shitcoins. I don't know what to tell you. Like, the best thing we can possibly do right now is to pump shitcoins. And we really need to pump DeFi of some sort. Probably not old DeFi, because we can't use the, you know, Ethereum's too expensive right now for DeFi. We need people to be able to put $10, $20, $100 in and get money back. Not a lot of money. You don't have to make crazy money, but outpace the banks. We need to outpace the banks. The banks are getting 0.5% APY. Okay, we've got millions APY, right? We can outpace the banks. We have to do that right now. This is the critical mass. Like, you know, we're at the end game now. This is the end game. You know, if this is going to be a super cycle, and if we're going to take over as far as, you know, mass adoption, the tech is here. The user interface is here. All we need now is a consensus amongst people that have been in the space for a while. And so I think we gotta have that consensus, and we gotta move forward. Yeah, I think we pump shift once.
Based.
Yeah. Pump shitcoins, which not financial advice.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough to like get people to like, well, people have to know how to, you know, farm. So if they're not farming, if you're not farming on Ethereum, like you're going to either AVAX, you know, Phantom. And that's like a huge, you're asking a lot from like normie adoption, like. Most of them don't even have MetaMask. Like, I mean, the people who are currently in are going to have to, you know, bridge to Phantom, basically.
There's BlockFi. You can get yields on BlockFi Celsius. You can get yields on, I think, Coinbase, but I know you can get them on Gemini. And I think
that's not farming, though. Like, no, that's just like, that's like not what he's talking about. He's talking about.
You get yields, and it's not farming, but it's still the same idea, I think. And then, like, what they had talked about a long time back, I don't know who said it, but it's like, we need to get to the point where people are using crypto and they don't even know it, you know?
Well, yeah, farming as a service tokens, the FAAS tokens. We talked about some couple podcasts ago, MCC, CCC, excuse me.
There's, I think, SCC, which is on a Phantom. It's like Scary Chain Capital.
Yeah, so all these are farming as a service. They're basically, you know, hedging against all these, you know, own forks or farming. And so there's also, so that's a way to get normie adoption by, you know, simplifying that step, just buying that coin instead of having to, you know, farm or stake on all these different platforms.
I would just say, though, to one of his points, he is talking about like the USD is a shitcoin and it has no supply, like it has unlimited supply. And so I talked about the markets earlier, but if you look at, for instance, what had happened in, like, I read an article about how it happened in England, also, like, the idea of austerity in Greece. If you pump the brakes on quantitative easing, which is called quantitative tightening, where the Federal Reserve reduces its balance sheet, you risk a recession. I mean, if you did austerity in Greece, what happens is there's no money flowing around. There's no investment. The businesses can't access money. And it's worse. And then this is the problem with, like, so you're going to try to control inflation, but you can't just stop printing money because then it creates a giant shock to the system. So he's right that, like, even though they're going to tighten interest rates, they still have to keep printing money. So it will never stop. And, like, his thoughts are, you know, where are the dollars going to go? And right now they're, like, not really going anywhere. And I mean, we can get to Urshel later because it's funny. But really, like, the interesting thing will be how governments try to keep this afloat, because they've been printing funny money. Inflation is up. If they tighten, I mean, will equities take a dip? And I mean, what's happened is that when you have too much money, people start investing in dumb stuff because they don't actually look at values. And then also what these business owners are doing, which you learn in business school, is if you have extra money, you have nowhere to put it. You just do stock buybacks and then pump your stock price. And then you get bigger bonuses if you're the CEO. So they gave out all these PPP loans and, like, yo, I'm a company. I don't need any more employees. I already have, like, my capital allocation set. And then I've learned from, you know, different business school stuff where, like, you can't just sit on a gob of money, really. It's actually capital inefficient. And then if you are a CEO, ideally you just want to pump up the value. If you take out coins, it's like burning coins. You know, if you buy back stocks, you're taking it out of the supply, increasing the value. But at a certain point, it's going into stupid stuff. And so where will the smart money go? What's the least risky? Probably blue chips, but like probably be sketched out about all the growth stocks that, you know, maybe get a little nervous about GameStop. I mean, you know, Tesla might be a bit overvalued, a bit frothy. Maybe short some stuff.
Well, they're saying Chamath. I'm not even pronouncing that right. But he said, he was like, you know, I'm shorting Visa, I'm shorting MasterCard, and I'm investing in, you know, infrastructure, Web3 infrastructure, crypto companies that, you know, that do the stuff that Visa does and MasterCard, because they live off that, you know, 2%, 3% credit card fee.
Also how, like, for normie adoption, the little bright spot that we're going to move into for our weekly NFT segment is NFTs are up.
Yeah, there's a lot of things, you know, NFTs, yeah. It's crazy.
A lot of new interest. There's a lot of random ones pumping.
Gas is still high, insanely high, you know, yeah. mostly because of NFTs.
So that's what people are saying is like, yeah, someone was like, yeah, ETH should go to 300. Is like NFTs the only thing holding up the price? And OpenSea volume is through the roof.
Yeah, people are still complaining about the servers, how it's like unusable. There's a meme this past weekend. Whereas, like, this is inside look of the OpenSea server room, and it's just like, you know, all these computers with all these wires like going everywhere, like it's just one stack of server, like it's just like they're not investing in, you know, a server farm, which they probably should.
But I was gonna say, you know, that leads to like another airdrop that happened, Looks, where maybe we can explain the term Looks Rare. It's kind of like, you know, of these projects like Bored Ape Yacht Club, you know.
Looks value. It's basically valuable. Like, this looks rare. Like, that could be expensive, you know.
But there's a platform that was created called Looks Rare where they airdropped based off of how much money you spent on NFTs or on OpenSea or what was it? I'm not sure, but some people were getting crazy airdrops. And it's a platform where they're saying that if you take the token and stake it, it's like OpenSea, but then the transactions are shared, like the actual transactions happening on it are shared among the holders and the fees are reduced. And so, I mean, I posted like one of my NFTs that's totally worthless, just to see how much I got. I got like next to nothing, like 125. I don't think I'll even claim it. I don't know if it's worth it. But some people, I mean, were claiming and selling like 20,000 of, you know, like another. It's crazy because it's for the whales. Like the airdrops for these whales are just huge.
Yeah, it's like if you transact on OpenSea, you're getting like this huge. And, you know, in order to transact on OpenSea, you have to be buying and selling. So it's like large amounts of ETH. And so, yeah, there any of these like similar to SOS or like, you know, Looks. Like, you're getting an insane amount of tokens that you can just dump.
Yeah. And I mean, but some people, at least, you know, the other tokens like SOS and Gas that were airdropped for people that were doing NFTs, they have the staking mechanism. So there is, like, some incentive to hold if you believe in the platform. And some people
hate. Did you stake yours?
I didn't even claim mine. I ran out of ETH and then.
You didn't claim your SOS? You did claim your SOS.
I claimed my SOS. I didn't claim my Gas. Like, the Gas was, like, really.
I didn't claim that either. That was a little sketchier, where it's, like, they didn't really have a plan for
it. It's interesting when like, I don't know who's putting liquidity in these things where people are just claiming and dumping, and it's like, oh, the price is like this, and then people are claiming, and then just pew.
SOS market cap is like top 100, or like it's like $120 million dollar market cap. So really? It's like kind of crazy. Yeah, the market cap is 150 million. Like, it's the top 350 coin. So that's like crazy.
I still don't really know.
I don't know what it does either.
So Looks Rare is down 43%, but it's still at 258.
I'm reading lips.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's like, yeah, I don't know how that platform, there's like somebody tweeted some FUD about it where it's like slower than OpenSea. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's just like OpenSea. It's down. It's just different people. And like, yeah, we can move to the Pudgy Penguins. And we found out that Looks Rare is, initial investor was Cole Therium, who was behind the Pudgy Penguins stuff. And apparently he got in at like 15 cents, but his stuff is probably vested. They said that it's like a locking in period for 6 months, but he's probably got all his stuff staked.
Well, he got like all, I mean, his equity is locked up, but not his airdrop tokens.
That's true. And you probably got it. They capped it out at the top, but like, I think the top airdrop was like, yeah, like five figures.
Yeah, five figures you immediately sell. That's like free money, basically.
He probably doesn't even need to sell, but some people were upset. And it's like, someone was talking about how it's crazy how, yeah, we had somebody in our Telegram where it was like, yeah, that dude's chill. And then now he's like a pariah.
Yeah, he kind of fell out with the Pudgy Penguin community with this FUD. So the guy who made SOS, he's a big Pudgy Penguin holder. He owns 242 Pudgy Penguins.
9x9x9 or whatever?
Yeah, 9x9x9. And so, and he owns a bunch of little Pudgies too. And he wanted to buy some equity in the company. But
yeah, figured out there was zero in the,
it was a shell company basically. And then the founders basically emptied all the ETH.
Yeah, that was Jeebus or it was Fatty or Tubby? So dumb, we're just like random names and stuff. Yeah, Jeebus, Tubby. No, it was, and I don't want to get
Mr.
it wrong.
Tubby. Mr. Tubby.
Yeah.
So they basically were trying to sell the company, you know, but it was a shell company with zero ETH inside, carrying a debt of two fundraising. And a boat of lots of promise, and they just like try to get money for like in a crazy evaluation, and then after he basically tweeted this thing on Twitter, and then there's all this like FUD. And the floor of Pudgy Penguins is like below one ETH. It's like 0.7.
Really?
Yeah, I think. So they also promised a token to investors too, which is apparently illegal.
Yeah, I looked into it, and then it was like, there's a thing called like the Howey rule, apparently, where you have to have certain things that make it a security. And
yeah, so it's like if you ever mint an NFT where they mentioned might have mentioned a token that is called a security offering, which is illegal for these unregistered and open to non-accredited investors, especially in the U.S. So they basically raised two rounds of funding illegally, put in their own pocket, and still want to sell an empty shell for millions. And so
I'd heard something different.
It's in flux.
Because I'd asked somebody about this, because for the project that I'm looking at doing, we're also looking at releasing a coin, where they were saying if it's meaningless, though, like head DAO, like one head equals one head, and like there's no exchange actually for money where you can buy it. Like you're just giving people a token.
But they've hinted at a play for earn game. Like yeah. This is not like hidden information. Like it's yeah, well it's known like on the web.
Tokens that you earn, like that you swap. Like
well, that's why we were speculating on the Pudgy presence that you know we got in hindsight, it's pretty dumb, you know, present. But it was a fishing rod. You know, it was like this is a play to earn game that you can fish.
How do you put a fishing rod in an egg?
Yeah, and the memes, like, the memes off of it were, like, hilarious in hindsight. Because, like, when we first hatched, we were like, oh, this might get turned into something. But in hindsight, it was a fucking fishing rod and a fucking egg. And there was a...
You sold my present when you bought yours.
Well, yeah, I spent 0.32 ETH for a fucking rod. And it was like, I tweeted, I was like, what the fuck? And there's a funny meme where it's like that egg rug hits different by beta gated. And he's like that meme where it's like the anime where the girl's on the lap of the guy on the computer. And she's like, please just touch me. And he's like, babe, the eggs had fishing rods in them. Are you fucking kidding me? And he's like, in hindsight, it was a fucking egg. And like, they like fumbled the bag. Like, they should have just had another PFP. They would have like made money.
Yeah.
But they were fucking eggs.
Yeah. Another interesting thing to pivot, but still in NFTs, was, I thought it was pretty bullish. I think Suzu had tweeted about it where he was talking to his friend in China. I think it's called Permabears or something. Maybe you can find it. But there was some famous Chinese artist who released an NFT project that apparently just mooned like crazy. And so I'm not sure exactly which one it is, but it was like, it's nice to see that there's like, you know, the Asian market. And it's kind of weird because, you know, they play a role in coins, but you don't really particularly see them with NFTs as much. Although I heard that there were Chinese billionaires buying Ether rocks back, you know, it feels like.
Well,
back
Justin's son was like an OG Ether rock holder. Apparently there's a ton of alpha in that like private group.
Yeah, so you get like access to like,
so know. It's like you pay millions for a rock, but you actually get like access to like exclusive club.
There was that one chick who was the CEO who like had her like smartwatch or something with the picture of her Ether rock.
And like, is that, are you talking about Meltem?
Oh yeah, is that,
but
her?
No, but she has an Ether rock, and that's how she posts, like, she tweets, like, you know, stuff going down in the, you know, Twitter or, like, the Ether Rock group chat or something, or Discord.
Yeah.
But I can't find that Chinese artist you're talking about. But, so I don't know if, like, NFTs, too, are starting to go on, you know, other chains. You know, there's a NFT project on Avalanche recently called Time Frogs.
Yeah, I want
that. You were like eligible for, you know, a time lottery. But, you know, Wonderland, to pivot, I guess we were talking about how ways to get into farming or farming as a service.
I'll just say real quick, it was Fanta Bears.
Was that on Phantom?
Irma Bears. No, and it's PH. And so, yeah. But whatever. That was the name. You can look it up. It's like a big Chinese. Floor price is 5.88. Wow.
And then yeah, I mean, it's a PFP project. Yeah.
So apparently that was like a big Asian NFT thing, but
they're like beefed up.
Huh?
They're like pimped out Care Bears.
Yeah.
But yeah, back to my topic, like the Wonderland is kind of, I think they've kind of turned to, you know, they do some farming to earn profits and, you know, for the treasury, but they're also, you know, we talk about the power of a DAO where we're combining all this money into a treasury, and it's kind of like turned into a joint like VC fund where it's like, if you're a holder of time, you are a part of this, you know, venture capitalist fund, which is pretty cool. You know, fuck the suits, right? You know, the Silicon Valley guys. And that's something that Danielle Sess has been tweeting about. And they recently, just last week, just posted an article where it's like they're actually using money from time to invest in a betting platform called BetSwap. And so the terms of that deal, you know, we get, you know, time is gets like any VC would, they get tokens, initial tokens, and those tokens will be airdropped to time holders. That was tweeted.
Oh, I didn't see that part.
You shared that to me in our DMs.
I just didn't check the whole thing, but
yeah, you just didn't read it.
No, it was interesting too, because I saw that sports betting is like, you know, they just opened in New York, and then it's really crazy because they're talking about how did you know Coinbase isn't allowed in New York?
I didn't know that.
Or consumer protection. And it used to be that like people would go to New Jersey to bet on games. I saw that like for the Super Bowl when I lived in Jersey, it's like all these people take the train to not get geo-blocked. They take the train and now they go back. But they were talking about how it's super, like the U.S. doesn't allow derivatives. They allow gambling. Now they're allowing sports betting. And they're like, oh, why? And it's like, oh, because you pay 50% taxes on your gains. And then it's like,
well, oh, from betting? Is that the tax?
Yeah, it's insane. And so it's like crypto will probably be a loophole for people that, not legal advice, but, you know, there's going to be people avoiding taxes using crypto to bet on stuff. And I don't know when regulators will keep up or catch up or figure out how to, oh, these random tokens were made, like you made money betting on them. And like already there's speculative stuff, you know, like airdrops and giveaways, and the way that the tax implications are super complex and confusing. But
yeah, so there's like a diagram of how BetSwap works, where it's like you know, pay $10 in a stable coin to lay a bet. You win the bet, you know, 1.5% commission fee of your earnings, you know, 0.5% governance token stake reward, 0.5% to team operations, and then 0.5% reserve and burn. And so, you know, they have a Medium article where it's like they break down the allocations of like, you know, how much they invested. But Sifu, he just got a Twitter account today, actually. And he tweeted that, you know, there's going to be $100 million token airdrop. Yeah, 100 million tokens of BetSwap GG to distribute to Wonderland Frogs this week. And so we are the VCs.
Yeah.
Sweet. So that's pretty cool. That's the power of the DAO, right? Where it's like we talked about, where it's like we can combine together, we can build a treasury of, you know, how many, and then we can move as one as an entity and, you know, make money or, you know, do our bidding, operate in the shadows, kind of like, you know, Mission Impossible, like Ghost Protocol, where like, you know, the group, the villain group that operates in the shadows. So that's pretty cool.
I'm trying to look for the tweet where Sifu's background, he's like apparently a partner in a major fund, and like he was like one of the heads of like a major exchange that got sold or something. Like, I don't know much about him. We got to look into it, but apparently he's also a Giga Brain.
Well, he was like off the grid. Yeah, he's like definitely Giga Brain. Like, he's the guy who's like controlled the treasury. Like, there was a vote, I think, you know, to, you know, have a vote of like, you know, let him control the treasury, and like, this is what he did. And like, you know, he's just a farming machine, one of those farming, you know, savants. Yeah, so he's crazy. He's CFO of Frog Nation. That's
his, so Surrey Capital. Sifu joined Twitter finally. He runs Wonderland Fi, manages its treasury, working on Sushi Swap and more. He founded several startups. Last one was listed on public exchange, and he's a partner at one of the largest funds in North America. Yeah, Chad. Yeah.
Based.
Frog Nation. Yeah, let's get it. Yeah. Let's go.
So we're pretty bullish.
Should we can mention quick Butterfly. It's like another Ohm fork that I guess is like big into the curve stuff, curve wars. It popped up. I don't think we need to mention too much, but I feel like we were talking about how the curve or the Ohm forks are getting pretty diluted. And I think it's about like, you know.
Yeah. Survival of the fittest right now, where it's like, technically it's like dumped
pretty hard too.
Yeah. Right? That dumped like 30% today. It got under 200, and there's a lot of speculation. Apparently it was like a huge liquidation. Someone was using it as collateral.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So whale, you know, getting liquidated.
Yeah.
That's according to Wartoll.
He was one of the main guys. Let's maybe do an Urzel update on the crazy.
Our favorite coin. Now it's like full-blown cult coin now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if, yeah.
Pudgy Penguins and Urzel, like, sorry.
Yeah. We've been pretty bullish on Urzel. You know, we're heavy holders of I guess, I don't know, what do you qualify a heavy holder, but one of my biggest bags, I'd say, where, you know, there's a huge sell-off where someone noticed some selling of, you know, 7 million Urzel tokens from one of, you know, one of the founder of personal wallets, which is Ryan's, who's the CTO of Urzel. And somebody put that in the forum and noticed that transaction. And, you know, Urzel has a company policy where it's like, you can only sell like 1% of your tokens, but you have to like, let, you know, people know via email. And so initially it was like brushed off, like, no way he's like selling, like, you know, from how he kind of dismissed it, saying like, no way this happened. And then, you know, after looking at the transaction, it's like the activity is really odd, where it's like, it's activity of a hacker, where it's like, it got sent to like a dummy wallet, and then like whatever ETH got withdrawn or like used as collateral was sold or something, or sent to this hacker wallet. So there's a lot of speculation. And, you know, when this happened like around Friday, I'd say.
Meanwhile, the dude's on vacation, and then the CEO is like, we take vacation very seriously. It's like, yo. Like,
yeah, you're a C-suite executive. You are always available no matter what. Like, no such thing as off the grid for a C-suite executive, at least in corporate America.
We were talking about it, how it caused like a cascade of liquidations. And I mean, that means that people were using Urzel as collateral, which is like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's already at 5 cents. It's already at the bottom. Why are you going to use it as collateral?
So we were thinking more, that it must have been that people are using it as collateral to borrow dollars to then buy more ERS to leverage up their bag. But yeah, like a crazy amount in terms of market cap and liquidations of just
money. I thought you couldn't even do that with the new contract. Like you can only borrow like 30%, I guess, but even.
Yeah, that must be it though. Like still the 30%, like it was like such a big drop and stuff. And then the sell pressure and then
the PR. And also didn't make sense that, you know, why would Ryan be selling at the bottom? Like of the year, like why not sell when, if you're really gonna rug Urza, why not sell when the platform was launching back in May when it was $1.70? And so yeah, like the activity was really strange, and the PR was so bad too. Yeah.
They just kind of ignored it, acted like business as usual. And then they were just, he's on suspension now. And then at the end of the tweet thread, it was like, if you have a drug or abuse problem, like get help. And it's like,
they insinuated he had a drug problem. And then like, that just like all the jokes coming out, like we shouldn't joke about, you know, substance abuse. That's like a real issue, but people are less forgiving.
Yeah, like, oh wow, I didn't know drug dealers took Urzdol. Like CTO is a drug addict, bullish.
Yeah, but it was like, so they're making jokes about like, oh, Thailand, like gotta pay the money for the lady boys in Thailand. But like immediately after, so they're all like they're pulling this off, or like they're all delaying it, and then Sunday they're saying like, you know, effective immediately, Ryan is, you know, put on leave as a CTO, and we're looking for a new CTO. Immediately after that announcement, like Urzel jumped up 36%. Like it was like what at like 3 cents, and then dropped to like, or went up to like 4.5 cents. So there's a huge bounce back. But I don't know. It was like, I wouldn't have, even if I had money, or even if I had money to stable suspend, I wouldn't want to buy that bounce or buy that dip. That's like so much uncertainty. Now it's just like a cult coin now, where it's like our bags are like, you know, even my entry was like 20 cents. I thought that was low, but it's like,
yeah. But no, and there were some people talking about how they bought it $1. Like, wow.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad. Sorry, my biotech homies, where it's like right when the product launched, I was like, you gotta get Urzel, it's gonna pop off, you know, the APY is insane. And they bought it like $1.70.
Tax loss harvesting, where he was like, not upset, man, like I didn't make anything, but you know, taxes, so I can wipe it. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, like
still holding, and I was like, I mean, why sell, you know, like.
Yeah, I missed out on the tax harvesting because, like, before then, everything was good. They just, like, onboarded their first bank, like, their first vault.
And stuff, and
they did a buyback.
And it's, like, interesting because it's, like, for PR purposes, like, they don't really need the community.
And no, it's all about the banks. Like,
exactly. So they're, like, we don't – and then it's, like, they should just be upfront and be, like, we don't care about the people.
Yeah, which is – I mean, they don't need to be – but it's just like they want to, you know, there's some loyalty aspects to it. But if we ever make it, like, you know, off of Urzel, like, we deserve it. Like, you know, like, crypto is not easy. Whoever says crypto is easy is like, hasn't been through it. Like, this has been a roller coaster for sure. Like you get rugged left and right. Like you just got to take it on the chin.
Kobe was like, they'll say that you were lucky. Let's just hit the shills real quick though. I got to wrap it up. It's getting late over here.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to go first or should I?
I'm just shilling nodes, like passive income. Strong is holding up. I want to get some nodes. And I mean, they're so tough to buy that it's like, I think that everything, you know, I always said whatever's tough to buy is going to be a good bet because you're going to be early because who's going to do the extra work to figure it out?
Yeah, that's true. Like, even Strong's been out for a while, like, the market cap is still, you know, it's still only like 120 million, which, you know, like we said before, like SOS, you know, just an airdrop coin, not that much utility, just has a strong community. That's at 150 million. But like, you know, Strong gives you, you know, passive income a month.
And it makes sense because you're basically paying to provide a service. So you're buying like virtual nodes that are, you know, of service to these blockchains that need them to run. So I think it makes sense on a, like a fundamental level, which a lot of these coins are kind of like, ooh.
Well, now at this like dip, like, that's all you have is fundamentals now. Like, you gotta stick with it. You know, if you have conviction in it, you gotta, you know, believe. That's why they say make decisions based on the fundamentals, not exactly price.
Yeah.
But yeah, my shield, I have two. One is Chainlink. So Chainlink is
fundamentals.
Yeah, so, you know, we talked about it last time where it's kind of like Chainlink has kind of underperformed everybody this past 2021, but they've, you know, increased their value like from 7 billion to like 76 billion as far as like total value locked. You know, at the beginning of the year, January 1st, Sergey basically had a conference. And he announced that, you know, CCIP, which is like the cross-chain interoperability oracles, are going to be live in 2022. And then there's going to be that the staking is going to come out. And so, you know, ton of bullish stuff where it's like, you know, this dip. Chainlink has actually been up. You know, it's 50% on the year and it's been 10 days. Past 30 days is up like 40%. Yeah, so Chainlink 2022, I think that's my coin. I think that's also gonna like do multiples. They brought on the former CEO of Google as a advisor, which is just bullish, where he basically took Google from a startup company to, you know, the company it is today. And he's like Giga Brain, like,
yeah. What's your other one?
So my other one is, we talked about this like two podcasts ago, and I didn't really know when Daniel brought it up, I didn't really know what it was. DeFi Kingdoms, man, this is Jewel token. It's on the Harmony Network, which is a layer two. And you know, what's bullish for me too is that Foo the Panda's been playing in on it. And he's a big, like, gamer, like, Age of Empires ranked, you know, values that. And even Z, who was on Up Only, you know, what drew it to him, or what got him into it, is because it's, like, very similar to, like, World of Warcraft, where it's, like, people, you know, spend hours, like, leveling up heroes. But, like, right now I've, like, looking into it, I read the white paper. It's basically like a 2D game. It's like a pixelated game. Like, it's not like a graphic game at all, but it's like, Foo compared it to like RuneScape, you know, back in the day.
So many crypto people are like RuneScape people.
Yeah. So, but I think this is low key how we get like the kids into DeFi, like, because it's like the mechanics of it is like, very how you learn how the basics is like how you create a liquidity pair to like stake in liquidity pools. That's like a main aspect of the game. You know, you can stake in the bank, like, so basically you go to like the gardens and then you can, you know,
farm Jewel, right?
Yeah, you farm Jewel or like any liquidity pair. They have like Jewel with like stable coins. You know, they have the popular one is Jewel and One, which is Harmony. But it's like how you buy Jewel. It's like you can't buy it on a, you know, CEX. Like, a centralized exchange, you have to buy it in the game. Like you have to go to like the bank and like, you know, trade your Harmony for it. So it's a very like, it's a DEX within a game, you know? So it's very bullish where it's like you basically, it's a way to learn, you know, the basics of DeFi, honestly. And then, you know, right now they're starting to get heroes too. And there's all these like different breeds and like they're going to have items and, you know, how you can level up your heroes. You can do quests, you can do all these things. And these are all like utility NFTs. So very bullish on DeFi Kingdoms. I think that's something.
It's on my rule too. Hard to purchase. Like people just don't want to bridge.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it's even harder to bridge than AVAX. So you basically have to, you have to have a Harmony wallet, which is its own Chrome browser extension. So you basically, you know, you buy USDT on a, on Coinbase, and then you send that to KuCoin. You buy Harmony on KuCoin. Then you have to send the Harmony to your Harmony wallet. And then you have to, from that Harmony wallet, send it to the MetaMask wallet, which you have to add the Harmony network and then connect your MetaMask to the game. And then, you know, do all the transactions on the game. But, you know, Harmony is a layer two protocol. So all the transactions are really cheap, or cents, but there's issues with the RPC, scalability, I guess, with more users. What was I going to say? I forgot, but you know,
that was a good chill.
Yeah. So Jewel too. And it's like portion of, when you farm and stuff, like it's like locked, you know, like, so it's like you're only, so you can't just like instantly farm and then sell it off. Like a portion of it is locked until, like Q1 or Q3 of 2022. So it's something to very learn. I think that like, oh, also the one of the downsides is like to get a hero, to get a floor hero is kind of expensive. It's like $600, $700. So I think the move right now, if you want to try it, is just to like get a LP pool going and start gaining rewards. But yeah, DeFi Kingdoms, man. I think this is how we get the kids playing, getting into DeFi and crypto. But yeah.
All right. It was a good episode.
Yeah. Sorry for the technical difficulties. We've, like, Daniel's in a third world country.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if there are blanks in, you know, on the video, forgive us. All right. Peace.
Next time. Peace.
Bye.